Thank you, Elder Peter. Thank you. I belong in a house church. We meet every Wednesday night. What's house church? Look over there on that wall. House church, in a word, in a phrase, is doing life together. Okay? Doing life together. We do life together. We rejoice together. We cry together. We eat together. We do. We have a potluck. We pray together. We grow together in our faith. That's what a house church is. So we meet weekly. Some house churches meet bi-weekly. Some do potlucks. Others do just desserts. But it's about doing life. We had a fantastic house church this past Wednesday. In our discussion, as we opened the Holy Scripture together, and as we were delving into God's truth, one of the questions was this, about the glory of God, and one concrete question over which we had some discussions and even debates was this: why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here? We don't mean here. We mean, what are you doing? I don't mean why you're sitting here. No. What is the purpose of life? What is the meaning of life? Why are we here in the first place? Why did God create you and me? He did create you. We are here because He formed and made us. So what is the purpose? So in our house church, we went back and forth. Well, life's meaning is about being happy. And then someone said, well, yes, but it's got to be more than that. And we back and forth. And at the end, we came to this conclusion, as revealed in the Holy Scripture. Your purpose in life, the reason you are here, is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the purpose. That's the meaning. Beyond your vocation, beyond your occupation, beyond your education, beyond the daily routines and struggles, at the end of it all is this. You are here to be loved by God through Jesus Christ, His Son. And you are here to reciprocate that love by saying, I love you, Father in heaven, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Be loved by God, and therefore you respond to His love with your own love. I love you back, God. And out of that transformation, out of that renewing of your heart and your character and your mind, you know what happens after that? You love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That is the whole purpose, the meaning, the ultimate meaning of your life. And that's why you are here. Hence, the series starting today. We are calling it Bless. How to love your neighbors using everyday life stuff. Not something spectacular, not something extraordinary, but ordinary stuff. You're going to love your neighbor as yourself. May I recommend that you use the sermon outline. For those of you joining via live stream, you will see this QR code on your screen. Just point your camera and it will direct you to the sermon outline. And also, I anticipate that there will be some time for Q&A. So here's the number to which you may send your questions. Would you join me in prayer? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, as we sang just minutes ago, pour out your presence upon us, both in person and on live stream. And we pray those on live stream will be able to join us in person soon and very soon. Holy Spirit, open our eyes that we may see Jesus. Open our ears that we may hear Jesus. Open our hearts that we may conceive Jesus. To the glory of the Father, we pray. Amen. We're going to receive the scripture reading from Luke 10, one of the most familiar Bible passages ever. The problem with that is this, it's so familiar to you. You go, ho-hum. So this is the parable of the Good Samaritan, and as we receive it, here's what I need you to do. See yourself in the story. Here are the characters in the parable. There is the Jewish person who gets robbed and beaten up. There is the priest. There is the Levite, someone who is really religious. And then there is the Samaritan. As we receive the scripture, ask yourself, with which character do you identify yourself? Is it the guy beaten up? Is it the priest? Is it the Levite? Or is it the Samaritan? Hear the word of the Lord. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Pause right there. An expert in the law, we're not talking about an expert in the civil law. We're not talking about an expert in the traffic law. When the Bible says the law, it's referring to the Bible itself, the commandments of the Lord. The scripture can be called the law, okay? So an expert in the Bible, got it? This person who is so familiar with the Bible, he's called an expert. Here's the occasion. He is asking this question to Jesus to what? Test him. It's a trap, okay? He's not asking Jesus for, I really want to know. He's asking this question to test, to trap Jesus. And that's because Jesus comes along and he, you know what? I'm going to save it for later. Hold that thought. And here's the question. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to be saved? What must I do? The vernacular of the day is, what must I do to go to heaven? What must I do to be right with God? What must I do to be blessed by the Lord? Okay? Jesus answers the question with a question. What is written in the law? What is written in the Bible? What is written in the scripture? What has God revealed in his holy revelation? He replied, how do you read it? You know the answer. Scripture says it. God has revealed it. How do you read it? He answered, would you join me in reading this? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. Good answer. Correct answer. And do it, and you will live. Do it, and you will inherit eternal life. Do it, and you shall be saved. Do it. But the expert in the law, he wanted to justify himself. Interesting. He wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Is Victor my neighbor? Is my neighbor Ray, the guy who blows the snow, is he my neighbor? What about my classmates? What about my office mate? Who's my neighbor? What about the people in Chile? Who's my neighbor? He wanted to justify himself. And then Jesus tells a parable, a story with a lesson and point. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, a religious person, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, medicine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, silver coin, and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Here's the question. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, I believe this is what Jesus Christ, our Lord, wants to reveal to us. Okay? Here's the theme and the goal of the message. Jesus Christ shows you how to love your neighbor with 4 road signs. Remember, this is a simple message. Christ himself is showing you how to love your neighbor with 4 road signs. Road sign number 1, Jesus shows you who your neighbor is. He reveals to you who your neighbor is. So, question, who's your neighbor? Am I your neighbor? The person sitting next to you, is he, is she your neighbor? Your classmates, are they your neighbors? Your colleagues, coworkers, cubicle mates, office mates, are they, who's your neighbor? Look at verse 29. The expert in the law wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? And the answer is, whomever the Holy Spirit sets on your path, whomever the Holy Spirit sends on your way, whomever the Holy Spirit says, that person is your neighbor. Jesus reveals to you who your neighbor is. You don't get to pick. It's been given, revealed to you. Let's go to the book of Acts. So Luke wrote 2 books. Gospel according to Luke. The second book is the book of Acts. Those 2 books should be read, considered as 1 book. It's the same story. In Acts chapter 17, here's verse 25. God himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, that's Adam, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. God, the Creator, our Heavenly Father, he appointed the exact place, exact time of your existence. Your mom and dad has something to do with it, I know. But ultimately, God appoints when you are going to be born, where you're going to live, everything in this life is under God's sovereign power. Raise your hand. Anyone born in, say, Korea? One, two, three, four, five, six. Oh. Anyone born in the Netherlands? One, two, three, four. Okay. Thank you. Five, six. Oh, okay. Anyone born in Mongolia? We got one. Anyone born in Canada? And you know why you were born in your birthplace? Because God appointed it. That's right. You know why you are here? God appointed your life, your breath, everything in your life is under God's sovereign power. So therefore, everyone, every neighbor that you find in your road is someone God has sent your way. Your neighbor is anyone the Holy Spirit sends on your path. Road sign number two. Jesus shows you your neighbor's needs. Okay? He reveals who your neighbor is, and he also reveals what their needs are. Look at verse 33. It's not enough just to know who your neighbors are. It's not even enough to have compassion and pity on him. You have to meet their needs. Otherwise, it's not love. You may have pity, you may have compassion, you may have concerns for your neighbor, but if you don't meet their needs, you are falling short of the act of loving them. Verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, he came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him, right? But he didn't stop there. I believe, I'm going to assume, that the priest, when he saw the man beaten up, half naked, bleeding on the side of the road, almost dead, I'm going to assume that he took pity on the guy. I'm going to assume that the Levite, when he came and saw the man, half naked, beaten up, bleeding, dying, I'm going to assume he took compassion on him. But the difference is this. He went to him, the Samaritan, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. You know why the man was beaten up? Because this was a dangerous road. This road, going from Jerusalem to Jericho, it was notorious for the robbers and thugs and thieves to come and attack the travelers. So the Samaritan took the time, risking his own safety now, he went and looked after the man. Here's a picture of a denarius. It's a silver coin. 1 denarius is worth a day's wage. He gave the innkeeper how many? 2 denarii. So that's 2 days' wages. What is the average wage for Edmontonians? Do you know? Roughly about $200. Roughly. Okay? Between 200, 250. 50 or so. That's a lot of money. You work all day, 9 to 5, and you earn your wage, and you multiply it by 2 times. That's a lot of money, isn't it? Huh? This is your sweat and your blood, so to speak. Yeah. Some of you get hurt in your job, right? And you work hard, and you give that money to someone else. Huh. What's even striking is this. What's the significance between the Samaritans and the Jews? So the man dying on the road is a Jew. A fellow Jew, priest, walked on by. A fellow Jew, a Levite, walked on by. But the Samaritan, he stopped, took pity on him, looked after his needs. Samaritans and the Jews, they were, simply put, they were enemies. Okay? They're of different race, different religions, and they hated each other. In fact, 2,000 years ago in Israel, one of the worst things that anyone could call you is what? You're driving on the road on your donkey, and someone cuts you off in his donkey. Guess what you call him? You Samaritan. What a Samaritan. Seriously, though, it'll be like today. An Israeli looking after a Palestinian. Okay? That is your neighbor, Jesus says. And you meet the needs of your neighbor. It's not enough just to have pity on him. Meet their needs. Rule sign number 3. Jesus shows you your neighbor's ultimate need. Ultimate need. The one objection is this. When we love our neighbors and when we meet their needs with our deeds, physical, material needs and deeds, what about their spiritual need? They need Jesus. Doesn't Jesus want us to proclaim that there is the ultimate, ultimate Savior and the Lord, God who loves them? The answer is yes. Now, in fact, Luke chapter 10, the whole context, the first half of chapter 10 is all about, guess what? Going and telling your neighbor about Jesus. Going and telling, sharing the story of Jesus by saying, the ultimate need, I know that you need food. I know that you need clothing. I know that you need a house. But the ultimate need is the Savior. You need Jesus. So look here, verse 1 and verse 22 of the same chapter. After this, this is the Lord Jesus appointed 72 others, his disciples, and he sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Okay, so Jesus is coming to Edmonton. He sends his disciples to Edmonton and tell everyone about me. Verse 22, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus is saying, everyone, go and love your neighbor by meeting their physical needs, but also telling them, sharing them the story of Jesus. Their ultimate need is that they need Jesus. The words of Jesus, Mark chapter 8. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? The physical needs are important, but what's most important is their spiritual need. Rule sign number 4. Okay. So first, Jesus says, he shows who your neighbor is. Number 2, he shows how to meet their needs. And number 3, Jesus shows that you want to share with them the ultimate, ultimate need, which is Jesus. And lastly, Jesus shows you the grace by which you can love your neighbor. See, for now, we can all intellectually agree, yes, I get it. One, two, three, But here's the dagger. You all know already, do you not, that you're supposed to love your neighbor? What we lack, what I lack, is the power, the grace with which I can love my neighbor. I do care. I have compassion. What I'm lacking is the power and the grace with which I can love my neighbor. In the story of the four characters, is it four? Yeah, okay. The half-beaten, naked, bleeding man, the Jew, the priest, the Levite, the Samaritan. Of the four characters, with whom do you identify yourself? Anyone with the priest? No. Anyone with the Levite? Oh, someone on live stream. Yeah. Yeah. Huh? Anyone with the Jew, beaten up, naked, bleeding, dying on the side of the road? Anyone identify yourself with the Jew? One, two, three. Anyone identify yourself with the Good Samaritan? Okay. The Good Samaritan, doesn't he sound familiar to you? Doesn't it remind you of someone that you know, heard of? Who's that? So he comes, looks after the bleeding guy, who's been robbed and beaten up and dying on the side of a road, and he looks after him, and he shows compassion, mercy, and pity, and he gives his means and says, take care of him, and when I come back, I will reimburse you. Who does that sound like? Jesus. You see, the Good Samaritan is Jesus. I'm the guy beaten up, naked, bleeding, dying on the side of. I'm the guy. When I recognize, when I realize, and when I believe, not only did Jesus risk his life, not only did Jesus clothe me and bandage me up, not only did Jesus put oil and wine over me, when I realize he did all that at the expense of his life. He didn't just give me two silver coins. He gave me his life. It cost him so much. And that's what we learned in the previous series. How did you lose the weight of guilt? How did you lose the weight of shame? How did you lose the weight of being alienated from God? How did you lose the weight of being the subject of God's wrath? Jesus took it all. When you realize that you are the Jew dying on the side of the road, when you realize how much Christ looked after you, that gives you power, that gives you grace to love your the question that the expert in the law asked, what was this? What must I do to be saved? Jesus answered, okay? How do you read the Bible? Love God, love your neighbor. Jesus says, do likewise. What must I do to be saved? Do this, love God, love your neighbor. And at the end of the parable, he asked the question, of these three, which was the neighbor to the man on the road? And the answer was, the one who showed mercy and pity. And Jesus says, go and what? Do likewise. So, friends, are you saved by grace or are you saved by doing? Are you saved? Do you receive do you inherit eternal life by grace or do you receive it by doing? According to this, it sounds a lot like by doing, doesn't it? Yeah? However, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Would you read this with me? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You are saved by grace of Jesus Christ. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. The only thing you can do is receive it. Jesus Christ has done it. He's giving it to you as a gift. Grace, 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 grace. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. It's a gift through faith. So how do you know if I have received the grace of Christ? I say it all the time. I say it all the time. But unless I appropriate it, receive it, and respond to his grace, you should question, Victor Ko, are you really saved by grace? You're doing the talk, but we don't see you doing the walk. So doing is an evidence that you have received the grace of Christ. So if you have received the grace of Christ, you will love God. If you have received the grace of Christ, then you will love your neighbor. So therefore, moving forward, this is what we're going to do. You know what? Let me read 1 John one more time here. Just one last verse. This is 1 John chapter 4. Whoever claims to love God, it hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. So therefore, loving God, loving your neighbor must come together. You cannot love God without loving your neighbor. And you cannot truly, truly, truly love your neighbor without loving God with all your heart. And Jesus Christ is the one who shows us how to do it. So moving forward, for the next 5 Sundays, we're going to spell out how to do bless. B-L-E-S-S. It's an acronym, okay? So when you love your neighbor, you begin with prayer. When you love your neighbor, you listen. You listen to their story. You listen to their sorrows and joys and what makes them happy, what makes them sad. You listen. When you love your neighbor, you eat with them. When you love your neighbor, you serve them, meet their needs. And lastly, when you love your neighbor, you share them the story of Jesus. So I invite all of you to join this series with this singular focus. Lord Jesus, help us to love you. Help us to love our neighbors. Would you join me in prayer? As we are praying, you will also see the phone number to which you may submit your questions. Heavenly Father, a simple message. And yet so profound. Simple message, and yet so hard to obey. Simple message, because Christ is giving us the grace and the power as to obey, how to obey you, how to love our neighbor. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for, as it were, getting off of the donkey. You came all the way down. You came from heaven to earth. You came all the way down. Thank you for taking care of our wounds. Thank you for healing our hurts. Thank you so much for going all the way, to the cross and rising from the dead to love us fully. So we respond to your grace now. We love whomever you send our way, and we share the story of Jesus with them. Holy Spirit, give us courage, give us joy all the more, that we may do this faithfully to your glory. In the name of Christ we pray, and God's people said, amen. Please rise with me and respond to the grace by singing this song.